Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James H. Williams, editor, reporter for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. I'm joined here by my co-host, Josh Woods, former UCLA linebacker. Josh, what's good, man?
You know, season grind, ready to see some UCLA football in about a month. I think we're a month away about.
Yeah, people are talking about like 4 weeks, 3 weeks away, more or less. And so
it's that time. It's that time for sure.
It's that time. It doesn't feel like that time, at least to me. I think maybe just because in past seasons, I was like either there, I was already in the grind of it, or I don't know. It feels a little different this year. I think just because I know maybe I'm not going to be day to day having to write about it as much as I have in the past. Obviously, we're still going to have all eyes on UCLA. Throughout the season and obviously here on the podcast. But one thing I'm curious about, and we'll talk about Media Day as well, because I was out at Media Day and that was one of my first real wake up calls of like, the season's about to start. And for a lot of people, it is the start of the college football season is when you, when these Media Days start popping up, or, you know, you start rolling into camp and that buzz and that energy starts kind of coming alive for everybody. But for you, as someone who played at UCLA, what is the vibe for you? I mean, obviously, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but what was the vibe for you like at this point, knowing you're a few days away from camp, you're trying to get your body right, your mental, like where are you at this point in as you get ready for camp?
I mean, the work's already been put in. I mean, that starts in a winter workout. So it's too late. You know, if you want to make any major changes, it's too late. Okay. The work's already put in. The time's already been taken. I mean, you know, the last few days, a few little tune-ups, you know, might go get massages and, you know, last minute, if you're at home, last minute goodbyes to your family because, you know, you're not probably going to be able to spend much time with them until after the season, especially, you know, all that out-of-state guys. So, yeah, that's the last few days are just, yeah, the definitely tune-ups that you can do.
And are you – let me see. How can I trying to think like where are you like just trying to recover, rest your body as well? Are you still putting in heavy in workouts? Like, are you guys already getting the playbook in? Like, have you guys already, would you have already started looking at the first game? Or I know Chip would say like,
you don't. Yeah. Going into camp, you want to be fresh. Because they say how you feel the first day is the best day you're going to feel for the rest of the year.
That's right.
Like you're never going to feel that good again. Right. So for the, you know, you're trying to be as fresh as possible. I guess recovering from summer workouts. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the time's already gone. So it's not like you're going to get any stronger doing one more extra lift or, right, you know, something like that. And you're going to have tune-up lifts throughout camp. But back to like the playbook stuff. Football kind of never ends. So
yeah,
after spring ball, you might take some time off, but I guarantee like a guy like myself, who I love the game, study the game. I remember every summer meeting with my coaches as much as possible to try to get ahead, of the playbook and just understand things more. So when I'm going into camp, going into season, I'm seeing things at a higher level. So for the real sense of the game, the football and the playbook part, that never ends. And then looking ahead for an opponent, you're not preparing for an opponent until probably 2 weeks or a week and a half before the game, you know? Mm-hmm. So you're just, the coaches are trying to see the defense for as it is. Like, you're competing against yourselves. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, a lot of, you know, scrimmages and team periods and stuff like that. That's what you're looking at every day. That's what you're watching every day. You don't start looking at opponents until it's really time for the season. So you're kind of game planning against each other. And just, I think the defense, like from defensive coordinator standpoint, they're trying to see how all the pieces are going to fit and what schemes are going to work best for with the guys that you have. So that's kind of the mindset of camp.
And you're probably getting a few position battles here too at this point, right? Probably still working through 100%, some of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Every day you got to know you're being evaluated. I mean, like I said, you're being evaluated through your workouts, but all that workout stuff doesn't matter if it doesn't translate onto the field. Cause you know, a guy can be the strongest guy in the weight room.
Right.
But if he can't win his one-on-one battle, what's the point of being that strong? Mm-hmm. So every day is going to be a battle. Cause I mean, outside of, you know how they say it, like outside of Dorian, probably everybody else's position is, you know, up.
Nothing's locked. Yeah.
I've seen guys go from the fours to the ones. I remember one of the stories I heard was about Anthony Barr's transition from like fullback tight end to linebacker. Mm-hmm. And I heard he like he wasn't really getting any burn on offense. And he made that move. And I think he went from the fours to four string and like spring ball to like ones by the first game of the season with a broken hand.
Damn.
So that just, I mean, that shows when guys put in work and, you know, show what they're capable of. Nothing's set in stone that day one of camp, which you're going to see day one of the first, you know, first game.
And I think another thing too, so, and like you even kind of mentioned too, when you first, or like when you're at this point and maybe throughout the summer, you're working with the coaches. I don't know, maybe this, I think maybe happened a little bit after you left, but I think they've even changed it where there's maybe not as much interaction with the coaches or that's very limited. I think throughout the summer maybe, but I think this is regardless of whether you're still working with coaches or not, you're not still working maybe as a full team or as your full 11 with your first team or whatever, but you really, I would say, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, the summer is really where you have to take it upon yourself and apply yourself to learn and stay sharp and stay strong and do what you need to do, because you know dang well the coaches, the first thing they're going to look at, especially this first day back in camp, is they're going to see who worked out and who didn't, who did what they needed to do and who didn't, who studied, who didn't, like all that stuff kind of helps sort out, like we mentioned with some of these position battles, right? Who's up to speed? Who knows? Who did their homework? Who went it, or who went the extra mile to do what they needed to do? Am I wrong on any of that, or is that kind of on point with where they're at?
100%, because like you said, I think it's because NCAA rules and stuff like that. We were not allowed to.
There's like so many hours. Yeah.
Yeah, and you're not allowed to be with coaches, I think, with a ball on the field.
Yeah.
And then, you're not allowed to have any workouts or anything like that with your position coaches or coordinators and stuff like that. Chip does a really good job of having all his coaches watch workouts. For the most part, every coach, every position coach or the GAs are out there at every workout. I don't know what times they had, but I remember we had like our 8 a.m. and our 10 a.m. and coaches were at both. So they are seeing that whole process of guys. They know who's working, who's not. But as far as, like you said, like it's upon yourself. It's completely voluntary of seeking out your coach to learn something. Or seeking even younger guys seeking out older guys. I remember like my last few years, I was hosting a lot of meetings. Myself, really? Where I'm bringing.
Are you calling these meetings? Are you saying, "Hey, linebackers or younger guys"?
I'm saying, so after the workouts or whatever, I would say, me and Chris Barnes will be in this room at this time. Mm-hmm. Come if you want to. We're going to go over the first installs of the first few weeks. And it's completely up to the, you know, everybody.
Yeah, everybody.
Young guy, right. Young guys and older guys, who wants mm-hmm. to show up and who feels like they need to be there and who feels that it's that important. And at the first few, you're going to get everybody. But, yeah, right. You know, as it goes on, some guys might feel like, oh, I know all that.
Which is crazy.
And not show up when it's like, I'm going out of my way mm-hmm. to try to help y'all, because at the end of the day, I feel like as an older player, I know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, I'm trying to help bring along other guys because mm-hmm. I know it's a long season and you never know who you're going to need, but you're at the end of the day, everybody's going to be needed for whatever role it is, whether that's having to play in the games or to be a scout look guy, because that's just important at the end of the day of preparing the team to win.
And I think that's a good point too, because it kind of, I mean, you would still think, you know, it's a team sport, everyone's involved, but at the same time, it shows you who's serious about it, who's serious about their business, right? And who has the right intentions, and it's going to show. Like, you're going to say, well, yeah, we know you don't know this play because you didn't come to the dang meetings. But also too, I think there's I would like to think it benefits someone like you too, right? Because you get to explain and teach them, but maybe there's something in the questions they ask or the things that they say that maybe you can learn something from them, or maybe it's something that you're like, well, neither one of us know. And then you guys can go to the coach about it. 100%. You guys can kind of walk through some of that stuff. It gives you things that you guys can learn. And it also kind of has that, it's just like you're the first day of school or whatever, just like any other class, right? It's like people are nervous to ask the question or questions or whatever, because the coach is there. He's going to think you don't know what how do you not know that already? Whatever. But it's like, it's almost good to kind of ask those questions. But sometimes maybe you feel a little bit more comfortable to ask some of those questions to your peers while your coach isn't there. And you can kind of flush some of that stuff out before, you know, you get to the coaches, the meeting with the coaches, and then you're starting to ask those questions. You're like, you know, some of the coaches, like, you could ask Josh or Chris that, like, all summer, what were y'all doing? So.
Yeah. And these are places where you gain trust. Mm-hmm. And I feel like one of the big parts of my development, how I was trusted, I think it was after my freshman year, I was a few times a week, every day, going up to the offices and watching film with linebacker coach Scott White, mm-hmm. Robert Thomas and Jayon Brown. And we would spend a lot of time watching tape, getting on the board, drawing everything up to where I was trusted to, oh, Josh spent all this time in the summer, you know, he can do X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. So, when you see younger guys doing that as an older guy, you want to invest more time into them and give them all the things that you've learned, because you know that they are the future. And like I said, mm-hmm. probably going to need them to help you.
Yeah.
So, I hope that's what's been going on this summer. I hope guys like Bo Calvert has been, you know, mm-hmm. bringing along the transfers and some of the younger guys, because it's that time now. And it's like, you are going to grow and learn a lot during camp, because there's things that you need to, you know, you have to learn with reps, but there could have been a lot of strides made before.
And I think one of the things for me that I've noticed just through social media is obviously what Dorian does. He did an NIL event. It wasn't like, I think this past week, it was like over the last couple of weeks or months, but like, I think, you know, different teammates and stuff were there. I think we talked about it before. I think it was the basketball event, but he's also been doing some camps. Like, I think there was one in Arizona, and part of me is like, he's from Nevada. He plays in California. So I'm not sure where the Arizona thing or why the camp was there, but I think like some of the newer guys, like I think Charbonnet was there from what I saw in some of the pictures. I think like Bobo was out there, and like Titus, the other new receiver. they're bonding. Like, the point I'm making is they're bonding. He's getting guys that are just coming in, and they're like they're working out. They're throwing the ball. They're building that chemistry. Right. And I think that stuff will be important, because you don't want to just wait until you get to the mandatory camp or the camps you need to be at to be like, oh, well, hey, here's my receiver for the first time that just transferred in. Hey, how are you doing? Right. Like, that connection already has to be established to some degree if you want to have any sort of success kind of going forward this season. Right.
And I guarantee, I think this is why I'm most excited about Dorian this year, because from a big brother type of perspective, I feel like this might be the most dialed in he is. I haven't seen that many workout videos being posted, and I think that's on purpose.
And he's kind of done some of that like in the past, right?
I think he's locked in, and he's like, y'all don't need to see my work anymore. Like, you're just gonna see it all season. And I think he's in that zone of like, it's, you know, I'm older now, I'm mature now, it's my time. So I guarantee he was getting throwing sessions in with the new guys, and I mean, and the other guys too, like Kaz and all of them as well. I guarantee he was getting throwing sessions in with them probably multiple times a day. Knowing him, he's probably been at the facility every day.
Yep.
So
It should be fun. It should be fun.
I think it's gonna be a great season for the guys.
And here, so jumping into some of the media day stuff a little bit, and we'll maybe talk about some of the preseason awards that, you know, we've talked about some in the past, but like those were just like from the magazines and different things. These are like the actual award watch list and stuff. But I'll name off some of the preseason all Pac-12. The preseason all Pac-12 team that came out a little bit before media day. And these are all voted by the media, including myself. I voted. So if you all want to be mad at me about some of this, you can, maybe I'll dig up some of mine next week. Some of my picks, but
you expose yourself.
I don't care. I mean, it's kind of hard, 'cause you have to like know the whole conference. And I'm like, it's kind of weird and kind of interesting. And I'll read off the list of the UCLA guys that were on the all Pac-12 team. And like, you know, one, I have to try and know who transferred into Arizona State, and is that guy going to be somebody, or like, you know, what are the expectations for him? So that just puts a little bit of it in perspective. But just reading off the list, the only UCLA Bruin on the first team for all Pac-12 offense, and he was the only UCLA guy for offense or defense on first team, obviously Zach Charbonnet. First team running back. I think they do two for first team, two for second team offense, but Zach Charbonnet, obviously a lock at first team. And again, the only first team representative for UCLA. Second team had Jake Bobo, the receiver, who transferred in from Duke, and Darius Muasau, I'm still trying to get that last name figured out, who's a second team linebacker, and he was from Hawaii. So now, the reason, like I mentioned, these are two guys who transferred in, did not play in the Pac-12 conference, and it's like, how do we really know for sure that these guys are going to be among the all Pac-12 team? And I guess I'm kind of curious too. I'll read the honorable mentions here in a minute, but are you guys buy into any of this? It's like hard. Like, this is just me voting, right? That's like just the media voting. Like, so like, what do we know? But like, is there any sort of pressure? Do you guys read into any of this stuff as it kind of comes out?
That's cool. But I mean, at the end of the day, we know who's a guy, who's not a guy.
Exactly.
From our team and every other team. And the media or news outlets can say whatever they want, but at the end of the day, you know, as a player, like that guy's gonna have to line up against you, or like that guy's gonna have to see, you know what I'm saying? So like,
because it'll be completely different. Like by the end of the season, if you line them up, the preseason and the postseason or after the season kind of team, a lot of times it looks a lot like there's a handful of differences on it, right?
And even so, watching, because there's times where guys are getting glorified and getting love, but we'll like you that, really know X's and O's.
Yeah,
you know, there's guys that could be, there's, you have splash guys, the guys that don't do their job probably about 70% of the time, but 30% they'll make probably like four or five plays in a whole game, and it looks like they're balling, but like X's and O's. They might have been in the wrong spot the whole time, and like other guys are putting in more work just to, you know, balance out their mistakes and things like that. Right. So there's a lot of things like that where it's like somebody could be getting hyped that we know isn't that good. And then there's other guys that like will never get credit, even though that like they sacrifice and put in the work for other people. But it's like all that type of stuff. It's politics. We, like, you know, it's politics and is what it is. But at the end of the day, like I said, you know who you have to line up against, yep. and you know how the coaches are talking on people, you know how the game plan is, mm-hmm. and all that type of stuff. So I guess it really doesn't matter. It's just icing on the cake at the end of the year. Preseason doesn't matter, but at the end of the year, if you do have the accolade, oh, that's mm-hmm. that's cool. You know what I'm
then
saying?
Then it's good. You can put it on the resume and whatnot. I think so too. As a member of the media and like voting for these, I'm like, I feel like this is just for, because it's weird because we vote and then we write about it or mention it. Like, this is what the media vote. And I'm like, I voted on it. Well, I shouldn't really be writing about what I like in a way, like it doesn't matter. But
one of a key example, like one of the biggest things of like, I know the media doesn't like sometimes, not saying you, mm-hmm, but I know mm-hmm, some media that doesn't understand X's and O's or scheme or anything like that. I remember they used to bash Anthony Barr for his eyes and how he played the zone read, but there's literally a call in the, so his zone read, mm-hmm. you know, the quarterback's kind of reading, has somebody he's reading who's usually that like the outside linebacker or DN, if he's going to hand the ball off or not. There's a call where the DN or outside linebacker just chases and goes straight down to dive. And mm-hmm. One of the inside backers loops around and will play the quarterback. Mm-hmm. But the media kept thinking that he just was not disciplined and not keeping contained. But he's doing his job.
Yeah.
And he was so athletic and a freak that he could play, that sometimes he was playing the dive and the quarterback, which mm-hmm. wasn't his job. He was just going beyond that to make
plays. Yeah, the capability to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. they're thinking like, oh, he can do this, but he's not disciplined enough. Like, he doesn't do this every time. Of course he's not, because he's being coached to do a certain job. So it's like a lot of things like that of scheme, mm-hmm. of like, It might look weird to you, but a lot of times it's for a reason. It's
drawn up, yeah.
You might want the quarterback to pull the ball every time, mm-hmm. so we can have a one-on-one with the inside backer to get him. And you're shutting. That's a zone killer, an inside zone killer, having the end chase. You just better have a quarterback that's athletic enough to do that.
And I think that's an interesting point and something that you brought up. Like, so for me personally, I'll be the first person to tell you that I am not an X and O's person. And that's why I'm glad I get to do this podcast with you, for example, because like, if I was going to be an X and O's guy, then, you know, I would have the playbook, but I don't have the playbook. And there's no way I'm going to know,
exactly,
like you said, you know, what he's doing. Who am I to say he was right or wrong on what he did on that play? Like, because I don't know what you drew up. I don't know what you guys talked about. And me trying to figure out Chip Kelly's playbook without having it in front of me, like,
no
not,
chance.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to. So I don't even pretend. Like, I mean, I'll, you know, I can tell you if someone's in shotgun formation, yada yada. I know all that kind of stuff. But but I'm not gonna say, oh yeah, he totally meant to, you know, do this or that. Like, you know, it only takes one mistake, or they can disrupt something on the opponent can do something to disrupt whatever play, because it's all a chess match, right? And it's like, yeah, I'll try my best to understand things and figure it out. But like, again, that's why even with the media, with this media voting poll thing, or with the preseason team, like, it's all projection, right? And it's just mm-hmm. based on who everyone thinks is going to do well. And that leads me into my next point, actually. And I, every year, and again, I don't remember everybody I voted for, because a lot of it's like, yes, I know all the UCLA guys, but that doesn't mean like I'm going to vote for all of them and say, because I have to, again, project how things are going to play out, who the best players are for each team, and take all these things in consideration, how they did last year and whatnot. But Dorian was not on the first team again. He wasn't even on the second team. He was an honorable mention. I think last year they might have done a third team offense, because I remember saying he was like a third team guy, but now I think they just did two teams this year. But anyways, mm-hmm. he was an honorable mention along with Stephen Blaylock, defensive back, John Gaines, offensive line was also an honorable mention. All those guys were the same recruiting class as Dorian, but I think it's just interesting. One, if I'm Dorian, I'd be upset, but at the same time, I'm sure he doesn't care about any of this preseason stuff.
Let it fuel him.
But I think he very easily should have been. And I think I voted for him second.
Who's second team? They probably got Caleb.
No, I think they made I have to look. It was Caleb Williams or Cam Rising. They're first and second. And, that's the thing with quarterbacks is like there's only going to be one spot, right? But the thing is to me, it's almost kind of disrespectful to Dorian in a way. But it's like when you think about it, like you can't knock Cam Rising for what he's done. And a lot of people consider him just the best quarterback in the conference. But then also he led Utah to the Pac-12 championship and all that. But then for me, it's like with Caleb Williams. Again, that's why I have no problem saying this is all based off projection, right? Yeah. And that's the same thing with all things UCLA or USC. And I'm not here to knock USC because this is a UCLA podcast, but it's just like, sure, Caleb Williams is going to know Lincoln Riley and what he wants. They're going to have some familiar guys. I believe one of the top receivers, I think is Mario Williams, is from Oklahoma as well, transferred in from Oklahoma. And then obviously they got Jordan Addison, the Blitnikoff award winner for best receiver last year. So are they going to be solid? Yeah. But at the same time, they got a whole bunch of other new guys and pieces and things that they got to learn. So is it fair to sit there and really say, oh yeah, USC is going to win this thing? Actually, they weren't voted to win the whole conference, but there's a lot of hype behind it. Now, that's not saying it may not be the case or come true, or Caleb Williams may not be in the mix for the Heisman. I wouldn't be surprised if any of that happened, but it's just kind of like for Dorian, I think that, and again, that's a little insight on how the media voting goes. For me, it's like I'm voting for Dorian just because I know what Dorian has done in this conference. So I don't think I went and made Dorian one. I think I made him second team and on my ballot. And I think I had Cam Rising one. If I remember, I'll have to read it again because I can't remember for sure. But it's just kind of like for me, I know what Dorian has done in this conference. And this is his fifth year in the conference, right? So I'm kind of expecting some big things for Dorian. But do you have anything else on that or we'll transition into Blaylock and Gaines here for media day?
Yeah, I think he should use it as fuel. But like I said, I think he's locked
as in. If he needs any more fuel, right?
I think this is perfect for his brand anyways. Mm-hmm. I'll be a fan later. So, he can use it later. Cause I mean, you see when he gets doubted USC game, you know,
oh yeah.
Things like that. One thing though, I think one of the biggest misses on any of this list, how's Kaz Allen not mentioned?
That's a good point.
If not first or second team for a returner or athlete, how is he not even in the loop?
And here's another thing that I found interesting, because the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to look for the UCLA guys, right? Just to kind of see. And for me, it gives me a good idea, because one thing I noticed is a lot of these are nominated by the athletic department. So there were some categories where guys were like, I think for some of the special team stuff, UCLA guys weren't even mentioned, which means they probably weren't nominated or they don't know. And for me, maybe that just means they don't want to tip their hand on who the returner might be or whatever the case may be. But Kaz Allen would have been someone I would have tried to get in there. Right. But like he wasn't on there for me to even vote for. So there's some of that. Wow. And again, there's some of that, you know, if you're a fan and you see these results come out for preseason team, they don't know that. Like, they don't know who's on it and who's not. So,
yeah, I mean, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, now hearing mm-hmm. that, then mm-hmm. we really don't care about these lists.
Because they, exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And
right.
I know Chip's probably like, mm-hmm. don't even worry about this.
Yeah.
We're not chasing preseason awards. Mm-hmm. We're chasing championships. We're chasing Pac-12 championship and we're chasing playoffs. Like, if your mm-hmm. name gets mentioned at the end of all this, good for you.
And but that's
like,
what you want.
It's us. So mm-hmm. it's like, let us win these games.
Yeah.
And the result of that will be you winning an award.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a good point. And that's why I brought it up, because I'm like, heck, I was looking for guys just to even, you know, because some of it's like, I mean, to me that like the kick returners or like the guys to pick from was like none of these guys were even really the main kick. They're not even the returning kick returner. So I'm kind of like, where's Kaz Allen at? Because I know what Kaz can do, you know? So I'm like looking for Kaz and he's not on there for me to even vote for. So that's why some of it I don't remember. Some of it like some of the categories or positions didn't even involve UCLA guys. So I'm just kind of like trying to vote between an Arizona guy, a Colorado guy. And like some of them didn't even have USC guys on it either. So I'm like, I don't know. But you try to do justice in the voting, and you know, you still want to try and recognize guys who are eligible for or are there for those positions. Real quick, just while we're on the topic of Dorian and Charbonnet's mentioned in one of these, both Dorian and Charbonnet were named on the Maxwell Award watch list, which goes to like best college player, which is pretty much like the Heisman, but it's not the Heisman. And the Heisman, because it's its own thing, and they don't even put out like the official watch list for that till like week 4, 5, or 6 or something. Dorian was also mentioned for the Davey O'Brien award watch list, which goes to the nation's best quarterback. So Dorian's definitely getting on some of these watch lists, and he's definitely being recognized. Obviously, some of these lists are watch lists are pretty just like they kind of have everybody on there. So it's kind of like, what are we really doing some of these watch lists for? But they're on there. Charbonnet was also mentioned. I'll just read off all the awards real quick. Charbonnet was mentioned for he's on the watch list for the Doak Walker Award, which goes to the nation's best college running back. Chase Griffin, he's on two different watch lists. He was the nominee for the All-State AFCA Good Works Team for community service, academic dedication, and impact on and off the field. Sounds like something Chase may win. Jake Bobo was recognized on the Biletnikoff Award watch list for best outstanding receiver. I have a vote in that as well, so I'll be keeping an eye on those receivers, including Jake Bobo this season. Michael Ezeke from Colony High School out here in the IE, he's on the John Mackey Award watch list, which I kind of wasn't shocking, but it's kind of interesting because now I'm like, does that mean is Michael Ezeke, is he next up? Because who?
He's Michael. Next up. That's what that means.
But Mike Martinez is there too, and I'm like, part of me was like, well, because I'm trying to remember, like, if Ezeke got hurt or what. But one of those guys gonna be next up. I just think it's interesting. I feel like maybe it's a little bit more wide open. Like, I don't know. Like, here's the thing for me. Like, I don't know what went into these watch lists. Does Chip Kelly nominate someone? Do they nominate someone for this, or you know, are they just grabbing someone from every school? Like, I don't know. So that's just something interesting, but not doubting that. I think Michael Ezeke is more than deserving to be on it. And just knowing what we know about the tight end position at UCLA, someone's going to have a good year at that.
And
at
they, the tight end all, position. Yeah.
And it could be anybody.
More than three guys will be used at that position. So,
yep. Yeah. So that's something. And here's another one I found a little interesting with one of the names. Obviously, Darius, we mentioned earlier, is on the Butkus Award watch list, which recognizes the best college linebacker. But also Carl Jones is also mentioned on this list. And it was a little bit of a surprise for me, but I wouldn't be surprised. Carl's been there for quite some time. And I think this would be a good year for him to maybe step up and make a name for himself in that regard. Obviously, there's always been a ton of different linebackers that, you know, that can kind of fill that role. I guess maybe I think the reason why I was surprised is because maybe Bo Calvert's not on this list. I don't know why. I mean, we'll see. Again, these are all like preseason award watch lists, right? So anything can happen. Just real quick, Chase Griffin also mentioned for the Woodorful Trophy. I don't even know how to say that. Trophy watch list, which goes to community or to college football's top community servant. Again, something I think Chase will be in the mix for. And then also Kaz Allen was named to the watch list for the Hornug Award watch list, recognizing the most versatile player in major college football. So Kaz is on there. Kaz is going to, you know, he's getting some recognition there. And then Jake Landier is on the Manley Award watch list to recognize the best college long snappers. So we got a few guys on some watch lists there, and yeah, just wanted to mention and recognize all those guys. But let's talk about John Gaines and Blaylock out at media day. You gave me some nice helpful information. I didn't get to ask Blaylock about the anime stuff, but I did ask John Gaines about the cooking, and he said yeah, he can get down in the cooking in the kitchen. And him and Otito did some work, but he's also feeling a little bit of pressure, Josh, because now that Otito's not there You don't have Boss there or anybody like that. He's going to have to take over the Thanksgiving.
He got to hold it down by himself. He might got to recruit a few helping hands.
That's what he said. Cause I mentioned, I said, is there any pressure on the Thanksgiving meal? You're in charge of that, right? And he said, yeah, I'm going to be in charge of it. And he said, he's going to spend some time coming up here, kind of recruiting and getting and picking some brains and seeing who can cook on the team and kind of rally some folks for that Thanksgiving dinner. So that was fun talking to him. That put a smile on his face. I'm just trying to think of some things that stood out for me about Media Day. Obviously, conference realignment was a big thing. George Kliavkov, the commissioner for the Pac-12, was asked some questions and, obviously was not thrilled with the way things played out. And this was his first time speaking publicly about it. But at the end of the – well, one, he was asked, is there a chance that USC and UCLA could come back? Or would they be invited back if for whatever reason things didn't work out? And he said, yes, we'd be more than happy to welcome them back. So obviously that's a good sign for what it is. But he also said, you know, we're going to continue to work together with USC and UCLA over the next 2 years and do what's best for the kids or for the athletes. So obviously it sounds like there's still going to be some tension there when it comes to looking out for the best interest of UCLA, looking out in the best interest for them and the Pac-12 looking out in the best interest of the conference. But at the end of the day, it was nice to hear that there's still going to be some level of respect and they're not going to let any sort of tension get in the way of what's best for the athletes at the end of the day. And I thought that was a good sign. When you hear about something like that, is it good to know like the athletes are at least going to be taken care of and aren't getting the short end of the stick if you're a UCLA or USC athlete?
I think that's how it should always be. Mm-hmm. I mean, business is business. And them athletes had nothing to do with the decisions that were made at the end of the day.
Yeah. And aren't gonna be a part of it, right? Like John Gaines, DTR.
A few of the guys are not gonna be
in the Big 12 at all, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then also there was talks of recruiting, how it may impact having USC and UCLA leave. No one really said it's really impacted any of that, even for Oregon, Colorado. Like no one's really been impacted or hurt by any of that kind of stuff. So that was kind of interesting. Obviously, some people think, what is the future going to be like for Pac-12 as a conference? We'll have to wait and see. One other thing that stood out to me off the top of my head is what John Gaines said about the offensive line. I asked him about the, obviously losing someone like Justin Fry, him going to Ohio State, and is that a big loss? Mm-hmm. Having to work in a new coach. Like Coach Gervino, who was an offensive analyst, but comes in as that new offensive line coach. And he said, obviously nothing against Fry and he still loves Fry, obviously. So there's no bad blood there, but I think the point he was making and he made clear was we're happy with Gervino being here. And Gervino is a guy who coached an offensive line in the Super Bowl and has experience, has coached at the NFL level. So, there's not any drop off. He was there with UCLA last year. So there's no big adjustment there. Obviously, a lot of people, at least that I follow on Twitter, some UCLA fans are very concerned about the offensive line and the recruiting that's being done there. And there's not enough of it going on there. So I had to let some of them know that, hey, the current UCLA offensive line guys are happy with who they have. And maybe that should mean something for the guys they try to recruit. Maybe guys will like what they hear on that resume for Gervino, having coached the offensive line in a Super Bowl before and having that experience and maybe things will work out. So don't stress out. But so those were just some things that stood out. It was a little tricky this year just because they had everyone in the same room and it was kind of hard to record stuff because I wanted to record stuff to have here on the podcast, but made it a little difficult. But as we kind of wind down here, Josh, and we get ready for the final days again, as we mentioned, what are some things that fans should have in mind or just have the perspective of as the athletes get ready for camp? Like, is there anything as an athlete you wish you could have told fans as you're kind of going through camp mode here?
Yeah, as the athlete, you're just trying to lock in. So, we're not worried about the noise. So if, guys aren't responding or giving out the content or, doing all these things that fans love. I know fans are excited for the season start. Understand that the boys are locking it in for this long season ahead. So I think that's the biggest thing I'd say. It's like, yeah.
Yeah,
chill
for
out,
sure.
Chill out on the boys for a little bit.
Right, because they're going to be tagging them and stuff and saying, how are things going or what's going on or yada, yada, yada. Fans like to try and be involved with their team, and I get it. But yeah, man, I think that about wraps it up for us. Camp will probably be underway, I think, maybe by the next time we talk. So we'll figure that out and get a sense of what the pulse of UCLA football is like for the first day or two. But until then, I know you have a season to kind of focus on and get ready for. So we'll let you get back to that. And as always, we'll have everything you guys need regarding UCLA football here on the Believe in UCLA Football podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself.
What would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating tree houses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. If you need help, ask your kids. Start planning at visitcalifornia.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.